الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions. We talked in the previous session about the torture in the grave, the endowment in the grave, and the questioning of the two angels, Munkar and Nakir. I want to add that the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam talking about the torture in the grave reached the level of tawatur among those who explicitly mentioned that those hadiths reached the level of tawatur is Al-Hafiz Al-Suyuti. After the body decays in the grave, except for a very small piece, a very small bone called Ajbu al-Dhanab, the soul of the pious Muslim will be in paradise, enjoying. The soul of the blasphemer in Sijjins, receiving torture. And the soul of the sinful believers under the control of the angels in between the earth and the sky. And some in the first heaven, in the first sky. At one point of time, Allah orders angel Israfil to blow the horn. And he does. At that moment, all those who did not die before, they die. Among both human beings and jinn. Even Iblis dies at that time. Also the angels die after Israfil blows the horn. Even Israfil himself. Even Azrael, the angel of death, dies. But some scholars said a part of the angels do not die, like the angels who torture the blasphemers in hellfire, and like the angels who carry Al-Arsh. After that, Allah brings back Israfil alive. He blows a second time in the horn. When Israfil blows again, the bodies that already decayed, Allah brings them again together. Allah brings the death out of their graves. The souls re-enter those bodies. The death goes out from their graves. Also the angels that died, Allah brings them again alive. Then with every person would be two angels, one in front of him and one behind him, and they take him. They take him to the place where all the people are gathered. This gathering is of different types. Some people, they are gathered while they eat, they are sustained, they have clothes on them, and they are riding. Another group of people are gathered while they are naked with bare feet. And some people, they are gathered on their faces. Okay, dragged on their faces. Those are the blasphemers. Every person in the gathering would be given his book, the book in which his deeds are written. The believer takes his book with his right hand. The blasphemer is given his book with his left hand from behind his back. At that point, some people are happy with their books and some are not. Everyone is presented with his deeds. Then the deeds of the slave are weighed in the balance. It is a true balance with two pans, pull and the bar. It's like that. It's a big balance. In one pan, the good deeds are put. In the other pan, the bad deeds are put of the slave. As for the blasphemer, he would not have anything put in the pan for the good deeds, of the good deeds. The good deeds that the blasphemer does in this life, Allah makes him eat and drink for them in this life. In the hereafter, he doesn't get any reward for them. The one whom his good deeds outweigh his bad deeds, he is safe. He enters paradise. He is not tortured in hellfire. The one whom his bad deeds outweigh his good deeds deserves to be punished in hellfire. Except if Allah forgives him, then he is not punished. As for the people who have their good deeds and bad deeds equal, they are not tortured in hellfire, but they remain for a period of time at the wall of paradise, then they enter paradise. As for the blasphemer, as we said, he or she does not have any good deeds, any rewards, so he is going to be tortured in hellfire. The day of judgment is 50,000 years long. It is equal to 50,000 years of our years. The pious believer does not feel it so long. For him, this time is like as long as performing the obligatory prayer in this life. That's how he feels it. Similar to the time before the sun, when the sun declines, it becomes close to the horizon to set, and until it sets. It's a short time. This is how he feels it. Between the place of gathering and the area before paradise, there is a bridge. Underneath it is hellfire. This bridge is as-sirat. It is wide, but it is slippery. The people go to cross this bridge. Some people, they cross it very quickly, as quick as a lightning. The pious people, they do not even touch with their feet the bridge. They cross, they go in the air over it, above it. They cross it flying. Some, they cross it while walking. Some, they walk for a distance, then they fall. That is in hellfire. As for the blasphemers, they fall from the beginning of as-sirat. They don't make steps, then they fall down. Immediately from the beginning, they fall down. They fall into hellfire. The one who crosses as-sirat, he is safe. He escaped the torture. As for the believers who fall in hellfire, they are of two groups. One part, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام intercedes for them, and other than the Prophets, they intercede for them. Allah takes them out of hellfire before the period of punishment that they deserve finishes. Another part of the believers, no one intercedes for them. After that, the blasphemers tell those believers, "What did you benefit from your belief? You're with us." At that moment, at that time, Allah Ta'ala takes those believers out of hellfire. Not one believer remains in hellfire. When the blasphemers see that, they become more sorrow. Had there been death in the hereafter, that is, they would have been dead because of the sadness that they feel it. It is very strong, that is. This intercession that the Prophet ﷺ makes is one type among the different types of intercession that Allah gave him. When the people are gathered to be questioned and represented with their deeds, the sun gets close to the people. Some people, their own sweat reaches their ankles. Some people to their knees. Some people above of that. As for the blasphemer, his own sweat reaches his mouth. As for the pious people, they would be in the shadow of Al-Arsh. They don't experience this. When this happens, the believers go to Prophet Adam عليه السلام. They seek help from him. They say, "Intercede for us to Allah." Prophet Adam says, عليه السلام, "Go to Nuh, who is your father after your father. They say that because after the flood, the people did not give birth except for three of Noah's children, Sam, Ham, and Japheth. The believers go to Noah, alayhi salam. Noah tells them, go to Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Then Prophet Ibrahim tells them, go to Prophet Musa, alayhi salam. Then Prophet Musa tells them to go to Isa, alayhi salam. Then Prophet Isa tells them, go to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They go to Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa sallam. In response, he says, ana laha, ana laha. Which means, I will make this intercession. He says it twice. Then he asks Allah to relieve the believers from that heat. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him what he asked for. A third type of intercession is to intercede for some people who deserve to enter hellfire before they do, before they enter hellfire. And Allah ta'ala forgives them by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other prophets also, they intercede. They intercede to their people, to their followers, for their followers. The pious people, they intercede. The scholars who, the real scholars who apply their knowledge, they intercede. The martyrs, they intercede. The martyr intercedes for 70 of his family members. This was mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the blasphemer, no one intercedes for him. After the believers cross as-sirat, they get to the basin. Every prophet has a basin from which his nation drinks. The basin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is 1 month in length and 1 month in width. It receives water from paradise. Its water is more white than the snow, and it is more sweet than honey. And there are small cups to use them to drink. The one who drinks from it one sip does not get thirsty after that. People are of two types when they drink from the basin. Some they drink out of thirst, and some they drink out of experiencing this endowment, the pleasure of drinking from it, not out of thirst. The pious people, they wouldn't be thirsty when they drink from it. After that, those people enter paradise. As for those who fall from the bridge as-sirat, they fall in hellfire. There are different levels in hellfire. The most enormous torture is in the lowest level. The hypocrites, those who claim to be Muslims, while really they hate al-Islam, they don't believe in al-Islam. The hypocrites are tortured at that lowest level. And everyone among the leaders of the blasphemers will be tortured there. Take note that the torture of hellfire does not get lesser for the blasphemer, and it does not come to an end, of course. Even Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his torture does not get lesser. But from the beginning, his torture is less than the other blasphemers. Abu Talib will be in hellfire in a way that the fire reaches his ankles, and under his feet would be two burning coals, because of which his brain boils, and he remains in that torture forever. Because Abu Talib used to defend the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and protect him, but he did not believe, he did not become a Muslim. This is why he does not escape the torture of hellfire. The Prophet told Abu Talib, before he died, say La ilaha illallah and I will intercede for you on the day of judgment. Abu Talib refused. He said, I am worried that the people of Quraysh are going to talk bad about me. So I will remain following the religion of my father. So in brief, he did not embrace Al-Islam. So despite the fact that his torture is less than other blasphemers, but he is in hellfire tortured forever. We said that the torture of the blasphemer does not decrease in hellfire because Allah told us that in Al-Quran. Allah said, لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا, which means the torture of blasphemers in hellfire does not decrease. And another verse has the same meaning. لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. This is why it is not permissible to believe that Abu Lahab, the other uncle of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, his torture decreases in hellfire every Monday. Some people say it is narrated in Al-Bukhari that every Monday his torture decreases. We say first of all, the hadith narrated in Al-Bukhari about that, in the chain of narrators there is discontinuity. In this hadith is narrated from Az-Zuhri, who said, it reached me that this and this happened. So he does not say who told him, etc. We don't know the route. It is disconnected. The second point is that Az-Zuhri said, it reached me that Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, saw a dream about Abu Lahab, etc. Then all the issue is a dream. And it's not a dream of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Rather, it is a dream that Al-Abbas saw. And it's not confirmed from him. In this dream, Al-Abbas saw his brother, Abu Lahab, who was a blasphemer, sucking from a little hole in between his thumb and the index finger, sucking every Monday a little amount from there. That's all. Even in this dream, it wasn't in hellfire. In this dream, it was said that this is the case because when the Prophet was born, Abu Lahab set free a woman slave that he had because he was glad about the birth of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. That's all, and such matter is not reliable, is not a proof to say a statement that contradicts Al-Quran والعياذ بالله. An ignorant person, once he said that the torture of Abu Lahab decreases in hellfire. When someone told him, Allah said in Al-Quran, لا يخفف عنهم من عذابها, he said, yes, it is permissible by the intercession of the Prophet, as it happened with Abu Talib. He did not know that the torture of Abu Talib would not decrease in hellfire. Rather, Abu Talib, from the beginning, his torture is less than other blasphemers because he protected the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And once he enters hellfire, his torture does not decrease. As for paradise, it is called also Daru Salam. Paradise is the place where the people who inhabit it do not experience pain, sadness, illness, getting old, getting tired, and death. They do not experience any of that. Every one of the people of paradise experience enjoyments without an end. Paradise does not come to an end, and the enjoyments in paradise do not stop. Everyone among the people of paradise is as tall as Adam عليه السلام. Prophet Adam was 60 cubit tall and 7 cubits in width, all of them as if they are 33 years old. Usually the person is the strongest, his strength is at its peak at this age. The men do not have beards in paradise. Everyone among the people of paradise is happy with what he has, he or she has. If he desires anything, immediately one gets it. Even if the bird is passing in paradise and he desires to eat this bird grilled, immediately it falls in front of him grilled. Then after he eats it, the bones again are recovered with flesh and feathers, and the bird flies again. The greatest endowment upon Ahlul Jannah is enabling them to see the self of Allah Ta'ala. They see Allah not as people see the created things. They see Allah without Him being in a direction. Not one direction, not all directions. And without any distance existing between Him and the creatures. This is why they don't crowd to see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They don't crowd each other to see Allah Ta'ala. They don't get one against the other, because Allah exists without a place. There is a narration, a hadith, in which it says that the believers, they see Allah once a week. The pious among them, they see Him every day. But this is a weak hadith. It is not strong. It is a weak one. Still, it is narrated. May Allah make us among the people of paradise. Now let us stop here for now. Allah knows best. If you have any questions, go ahead. Sijin is in a place in the seventh earth, above hellfire, in which the souls of the blasphemers are tortured. Of course, in paradise there is no sun and like here, but there are certain signs by which it is known that a time equal to one day in this life had passed. So that's what we mean by 1 week. This is what we mean, 7 days. Every week, every 7 days. The one who visits the grave of the Prophet ﷺ with good intention, the Prophet intercedes for him so he would not be tortured in hellfire. This is the kind of intercession.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are there sharp things on as-sirat as the person crosses it?
What do you mean sharp things? On it or on the edges?
On it.
I did not hear about that. The hooks on it?
On the edges?
On the edges there are hooks. So some people when they pass, the hook takes them and as if they are going to fall. Then the hook leaves them. So they escape, they cross as-sirat while they are hurt, scratched, hurt. But they escape it. They escape falling in hellfire. What is narrated in the hadith that as-sirat is more sharp than the edge of the sword. It's not that really it is like that. This is to mention how dangerous it is to walk on as-sirat. It doesn't mean that it is sharper as far as its size is concerned. It is sharper than the edge of the sword. It doesn't mean that. It is narrated that some people, they face the direction of Al-Hawd, and then they are taken away from that direction. Not that they get to it, then the Prophet would say, "These are my companions, O Allah, those are my companions," and then he would be told, you don't know what they did after your death. They apostated.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, my question was, there is a saying that the age of the people who is coming up on the day of the judgment is being taken by the age of Nabiullah al-Isa. Is it how much true? I don't know. There is a saying something like that.
Yeah, the age is 33, as if they are in the age of 33 all the time.
Is it true that had been taken the age of Nabiullah al-Isa? I don't know how much this is true.
Prophet Isa, when he was raised to the sky, he was 33 years old, yes. But he will come back to earth and live for a certain period of time on earth, and then dies, and then get buried next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. So, but yes, he has 33 years old when he was raised to the sky. What happens to what? The people who are not accountable, they enter paradise. They don't get tortured at all. Yeah, the angels intercede also.
My question is about the intercession. And when the sinful Muslim go to the Nabiullah Adam alayhi salam and ask for intercession, he directs them to Nabiullah Nuh, and then Nabiullah Nuh directs them to Ibrahim alayhi salam, to Musa and to Isa, to our Prophet. This doesn't mean that other prophets, they don't intercede.
That intercession, they do not intercede, no.
What is the difference on those two different type of intercession?
This is something that Allah Ta'ala preserved for Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam to show his higher status.
So all the prophets from Nabiullah Adam until our Prophet alayhi salam, they will intercede that.
On the day of, yes, but not at that time when the sun gets close to the people, not at that time. Wafiq. Now let us stop here for now. Allah knows best.